How you guys doing? Thanks for having me. It's cool to be out here from the West Coast and hanging out with the East Coast Calvary Chapel people. I look a little bit different than you guys. I'm from California, so that's all right. Can I use this? I get nervous behind that thing. All right, let me see. Is that on? There we go. Okay, cool. We share similar lives. You know, our dads are both pastors of Calvary Chapel churches. And I actually went the complete opposite way. So I want to kind of tell you my story to encourage you guys. I've been going around telling my story around the nation lately. I'm called War for Your Soul to encourage people to follow God and let them know that Satan is real. You know, he's the father of lies. He's the destroyer. And just been going into men's homes, women's homes, rehabs. I was at this women's home the other night. They found this, the mom and the child that was 5 years old and the other child that was 12 years old sleeping in a ladder in a park. And they just brought them into this girl's home. And I walked in the girl's home and there was 35 women and children just living there. They're just pulling people off the street. So I've been just going around and just loving like what Jesus did, you know, and it's just crazy that I look at my life and I go, how in the heck did I get here? You know, going out loving people and teaching and doing this because, you know, it's weird because when I was young, I had the desire. I remember driving with my dad. You know, we'd be going to church and my dad's like, Ryan, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I'm like, I want to be like you. I want to speak. And then I totally got derailed as I got older by the things of the world. I got at a young age, I got introduced to, you know, pornography, you know, first grade. That was when like porn was on paper. Now it's all on our fingertips, on our iPhones. But I was going to church like a normal Christian kid. And you know, I'd go to summer camp and had to go to church on Wednesdays and Sunday nights. And, you know, on Sundays I'd want to go out and skate with my friends and I couldn't because I had to go to church. And that was just the rules of the house. You know, you had to go 2 times a week. And at a young age, I started kind of pulling away from that. I wanted the forbidden fruit in a sense. Like Adam and Eve, when they saw that tree, and, you know, Satan lied to them and said, you'll become like God if you eat the fruit. And I just got deceived at a young age that I wanted to see what the world had to offer. And I was force-fed the Bible, you know, I was force-fed church events, and I never got to go out and see the other side. So when I was growing up, I was always wanting to experiment with, you know, different things. And I got, like I said, I got into pornography at a young age around first grade. Found a duffel bag full of porn, and then in third grade, I saw, like, XXX porn. Because I didn't know what was going on when I was in first grade. I just saw stuff happening in the magazines. I was like, I don't understand it, you know? But when I got to third grade and saw that XXX porn, I started understanding what was going on, and that did something inside me, you know, mentally and sexually, and it got everything kind of, got things going, you know, where I started looking at girls different and got into smoking, you know, cigarettes at a young age, and then weed when I became a freshman, and eventually after that, just I dove right into the whole drug culture, and ended up just telling my parents like, hey, you know, you guys live your life for Jesus, you do your thing, and I'm gonna do my thing. I'm happy living the way I live, and I just pursued the whole drugs and alcohol thing, and got into computer design and started designing. I went to Pasadena Art College and started designing flyers and different stuff, and got wrapped up in the music industry in Los Angeles. Started throwing concerts and clubs and met a girl, started dating a girl that was a stripper at that time and basically fell in love with her and went through a series of abortions with her. And I remember the last abortion I went through, I was like planning to like marry this girl. Like she stopped stripping. I dated for about 3 years, fell in love with her. I don't know if you guys ever fell in love. I fell in love once in my life. And fell in love with her and she decided that she I was going to get an abortion. I said, don't get an abortion. Like, I'm working. You don't have to work. I'm going to buy a house. Like, let's just raise a kid. So we went to the hospital. We saw the heartbeat of the kid, you know, at 6 weeks or whatever it was. And I was like, stoked. Like, the kid's alive. That's amazing. And she called me back about 2 weeks later saying, I'm too young. I'm going to just have an abortion. And I still want to be with you. And I remember drawing the lines in the sand. And I was just like, you know what? If you get an abortion, I'm not going to stay with you. Because what are you going to do later on? You know, some of you guys have probably experienced this. You came home and your kids have been gone with your wife or, you know, they just leave with everything. So I was like, I want to avoid this situation in the future. So I told her, you know, if you leave, if you get this abortion, I'm going to leave you. And she did. And I just drew the line in the sand and I left her. And I remember just being so crushed at that point. And now I lived my life not for God my whole life. You know, at a very young age, I walked away from God because I thought the world would satisfy my desires. And I remember just my heart breaking and being in so much pain and just crying out to God in my room going, God, not crying out to him, more like cursing him, going, I hate you, cussing out every F word and everything I could possibly think of, just cursing God, saying, how could you do this to me? Meanwhile, my whole life has been living for myself. I haven't been following God, but how does that work with us sometimes? Something happens, oh God, I hate you, why'd you do this to me? And God's kind of like going, and God doesn't hate us ever, but he's kind of probably thinking, like, you don't even follow me. Like, why are you mad at me? I didn't do anything, you know? What's your problem, you know? And so I was just like, I was yelling at God and I cursed him and I wanted nothing to do with him. And I just, I remember at that point, I just said, I never want nothing to do with God. I'm going to live for myself. And around that time, I got a job offer to manage a professional skateboard team in Los Angeles. And my life took off. I took the job. I moved down to the beach. I grew up in L.A., but I moved down to the beach, Orange County. And my life took off. I said, I need to switch up my scenery, right? So I took the job. I started traveling the world 9 months out of the year. And I was working with, like, I launched this big music festival called Skate Jam, 20,000 people. We had some of the East Coast guys, Red Man, Meth Man, Reza. I was traveling around the world on tour with, like, Exhibit, Eminem, Dre. I was, like, doing product placement with all these bands, the Deftones, Limp Bizkit. We were doing Playboy Mansion parties. Vivid porn stars were hosting our parties. I was using so much cocaine and Xanax and alcohol. I've been started drinking when I was 15 for years, every single day. And I was just feeling this void in my life because I thought, well, I'm not serving God and, you know, I don't trust girls anymore because this chick burned me. So I'm just going to use girls and use drugs and make money. And you know, I never wanted to be famous, but I always like being in the mix, you know, throwing concerts and working with like tastemakers and culture. So that's what I set out to do. And I did that for many years. And this hole in my heart that I was trying to fill, this pain basically in my heart and the void of not having a girl and all these emotions, I was drowning it with alcohol and drugs and pornography and all these things. And fast forwarding 10 years of this lifestyle working for this skateboard brand while I was managing a professional skateboard too. So nine months out of the year, I'd be traveling the world with rock bands and hip hop bands. And then the other half, I'd be traveling with pro skateboarders doing demonstrations around the world, all through Asia, Africa, South America, Central America, Russia, just everywhere that has concrete, not middle of Africa, anywhere that has concrete that you can skate. So it all boiled down to this. After 10 years of living this chaos, just sleeping around and doing all this stuff, I had demons come to my room. Literally, like, I ate like 15 hits of ecstasy one night. And a bunch of cocaine, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I felt this something crawl on top of me and pull me down and choking me out. And I seen this black shadow. My bedroom was bolted ceilings like this, not as high as this, but I seen this black shadow, this creature in the top of my roof, and it jumped across my room, and it came at me three times. I couldn't make out faces. I just remember I had a big head and hands and arms, and it was hunched over. And it was the most terrifying feeling. And I don't know if any of you guys partied hard on coke or crystal meth, but when you're up like 5 or 7 days straight, it gets real eerie and you feel like that darkness come in. That's like the spiritual world. Well, it was 10 times worse than something like that. I was terrified and I couldn't talk and I felt something on top of me choking me out, but I didn't call out to Jesus because I grew up in the church and I remember my dad when I was young. Do you guys know my dad by any chance? Raw?
He's like, Ryan, listen. If you're not hot or cold, you're lukewarm, God will spit you out of his mouth. I was like, so I remember this verse ever since I was young. I was like 5 years old. So that would always run through my head as I was growing up. And the word of God says that the word of God will never come back void, right? So that got my dad put that seed in my mind. So I'm laying there and I'm like, I'm not going to call it to God because I don't follow God. Like I'm with Satan pretty much at this point. So I'm not going to call it to God and ask him to get rid of these demons in my room. So it happened three times that night. I woke up the next morning. I was on my way to work and this other guy that ate all the pills with me called me and goes, hey man, I was laying in bed and I felt something crawling behind me and put its arm around me. And I seen this black shadow, this creature walk out of my room, out of my closet with long hair.
And I said, hey, man, we were on drugs and you know, it's gone now and that's it. I didn't want to talk to him about God because I grew up in the church. If I told him there's demons, then I have to tell him about angels and Jesus and the whole thing. So I didn't talk to him about it. But what happens is he ended up getting saved 3 years later. Now he's a pastor at our church. So I kept living this lifestyle of I mean, I had everything the world had to offer. I mean, the car, the Harleys, the traveling the world, you know, company credit card, 5-star hotels, business class tickets, everything. And the girls were in every country. They were just waiting for us at our after parties, you know. So I had everything, but this hole kept getting bigger and bigger. And it all boiled down to this place where I was in Panama City. And I was sober for the first time. I just did a tour through Estonia, Latvia. And then I went through America. I did five states in America. And then I went from Colombia, Costa Rica to Panama. And when I got to Panama City, I basically was like wilding out on cocaine from Colombia to Panama. And it gets pure the closer you get to Colombia. And I'm eating more Xanax. I'm drinking and I'm going crazy. And finally, the team riders find me in my hotel room. And they think I'm dead. Like I OD'd basically. Laying in my bed with coke over my face. And I come out of it. And at this point in my life, I've already OD'd 3 times. Okay, I've lost 13 friends to like drugs and suicide and stuff. So I wake up the next morning and they said, we thought we lost you, Ryan. And I just remember having just a clear thought. This is the first time I was sober in a month and a half. And I was just like, all right, man, there has to be more in life than this. You know, I remember like Satan would tell me, like I would just hear, like I wouldn't hear his voice, but I would picture, I'd get images of me ODing in a hotel room for like 10 years of my life. And I always thought like, that's the way I'm going to die. And I was fine with it, which is crazy. That's how Satan like deceives you. I was like, yeah, I'm going to just die in a hotel room in my mind. And I was like, yeah, they'll find me dead and then they'll have a funeral and that's that. I was that deceived in my mind after growing up in the church under the word of God, how Satan could get someone in that situation, just totally turn you around. And I remember just going, all right, God, I went to my hotel room. I'm like, all right, God, are you real? Like, do you exist? Like, I see my dad. I see my mom. They're all Christians. They're going out doing mission trips. I've traveled the world with my dad on mission trips. I've been to Colombia, Chile, Peru. I've been to Israel. I've done it all. But I never had a personal relationship with God. I never had an encounter with the God of the universe. So I said, Jesus, are you real? Do you exist? And I'm by myself for the first time in my hotel room. And when you're by yourself, that's when you know who you really are. You don't have to impress no one. You're just kind of getting real with God. And I just remember going, God, if you're real, forgive me for my sins and come into my life. Prove that you're real to me. I challenged him and I was sitting there and I've taken a lot of LSD in my life and I was waiting for Jesus to show up in clouds of glory and lightning bolts and angels. I was waiting for the encounter, you know, and nothing happened. And I was like, knew this isn't real. So I'm sitting in my room and I'm like, man, I know they got Bibles around here somewhere. They got those Gideon Bibles everywhere I go. So I open the drawer and I see a blue Gideon Bible. I'm like, yes. Then I'm like, wait a minute. They speak Spanish in Panama. I don't speak Spanish. And so I open the Bible and it's in English. So I'm like, perfect. So I go to like the gospel. I'm like, okay, New Testament. I know that. I grew up, I know the hits, you know, like Adam and Eve, you know, the Red Sea open, Noah's Ark, Samson and Delilah. I like Samson because he went around hooking up a chicken and beating everyone up. And so I knew the hits, but I didn't know, you know, the deal. So I go to the New Testament. I start reading. And it's like, thee, thou. I'm like, what is this, some Shakespeare business? I'm like, I can't read this stuff. This is hard to read. See, I was in Lemon Drops when I was in first grade. Lemon Drops is the poorest reading level in first grade. I was in all the special ed classes. So now I'm reading like, so I'm like reading it. I'm like, dude, the old English. I'm like, I can't even pronounce some of these words. So I start reading it. And, you know, I'm just like, it's the word of God. I got to try and read it. So I read it for, you know, I don't know how long it was, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. And I close the Bible. I'm waiting around. Nothing happens. I'm like, all right, I'm going to bed. So I go to bed. I wake up the next morning to leave to go back from Panama City to LAX. So I grab the Bible. I steal it from the hotel. I put it in my backpack. I get on a plane and I start reading it for 6 hours straight. From Panama City to LAX, the whole skateboard team's around me, and they're looking at me reading the Bible. They're like, the cocaine pirates reading the Bible. Are you serious right now? And I remember looking at them, and I'm like, hey, animal, if God's real, he's in this book. Like, I'm going to find him if he's real. And they're like, dude, whatever, just don't die. Like, do whatever you got to do. So I start reading the book for 6 hours straight, the Bible, and I land in LAX, and I have peace. And I'm going, okay, wait, I'm going to quit my job and go to rehab. Why do I have peace in my life? Well, now that I've been walking with God for 6 years, rough around the edges, I realize that what the Bible says is true. I accepted Jesus Christ into my life. The Holy Spirit came into my life. I read the living word of God. What does it say about the living word of God? The living word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword cut between soul and spirit. So I start reading it. The Holy Spirit starts manifesting, and then I land and I have peace. Now, we know when John the Baptist, Jesus' sketchy-looking cousin, was in the desert, and eating locusts and honey with like camel hair, and the Jews have curly hair, and I went to Israel where John the Baptist was actually baptizing. They just opened it up last year. It's dirty. It's dusty. I mean, John the Baptist, you know, I don't know about the comb situation and conditioner. He probably had big old dreads. You know, it talks about Samson. Samson had seven big locks. He probably had big dreads. When Jesus' cousin baptized him in the water, he pulled him out of the water. It said that the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And the Holy Spirit represents the comforter, our helper, peace, paracletus. So I accept Jesus Christ in my life. I read the living word of God. The Holy Spirit manifests. I land in LAX. I have peace. Well, that's what the Bible says. But I didn't know because I only know the hits, right? So I go home. I go to bed that night and I wake up the next morning to quit my job. And I wake up the next morning and I hear the song singing through my head. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in Him. And it's just a small, still voice going over and over. And I'm like, what the heck is this? What is going on right now? I'm like, I haven't heard this since I was like in fourth grade in Sunday school. It was a hymn they used to sing. It was a song. So I'm like, all right, I got to call my dad. He's connected to Jesus. He'll be able to tell me what the heck is going on. So I grow up. Is there water in here by any chance? Is there water? Can I get one, please? So I call my dad. I'm like, hey, Dad, hey, check this out, man. I go, and let me point out something. At this point in my life, I'm 32 years old. I'm using tons of heroin, every way you could use it, smoking it, shooting it, coke, crack, Xanax. I'm using everything, drinking every single night. I'm on all kinds of drugs. I'm all, Dad, I'm all, guess what? I go, I gave my life to Jesus in the hotel room. And I said, I came home, I woke up this morning, I hear the song singing through my head. And I said, what the heck is that? He's like, Ryan. He's like, Ryan, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And He's speaking to you and He has a plan for your life. And I knew that I had an encounter with God that day. So what I did was I said, all right, well, what do I do? What do I do? He's like, come up here. I'm going to get you a Bible. I said, all right. So I went down to my job and I said, listen, man, you guys paid me for the last 10 years to get our product all over MTV, Rolling Stone magazine, travel rock stars, travel with the skateboard team. I said, I did a great job. The company's one of the number one skateboard brands in the world right now. And I said, I got a drug problem. You guys paid me. You did it to me. No, I'm just joking. But I'm like, I did a good job. I go, I got to get clean. They go to rehab, get clean, and then come back. And you can do marketing when you get back and stay in the office. You don't have to travel. I said, perfect. So I drove up to go see my dad, and I went to the bookstore and I said, hey man, I go, do you guys have a 11 drops Bible? They go, it's the New Living Translation's right over there. I'm like, perfect. So I walk in, I grab the New Living Translation and I start walking to the front. I see this dude that looks like John the Baptist on front of this book. I'm like, who's this sketchy looking guy with tattoos and beard and hair? They go, oh, that's the guy from Corinth. That's Brian Ed Welch. He became a Christian now. I'm like, all right, well, why? I'm like, okay, well, I can relate to this guy. So I grab his book and go to my dad's office. I'm like, Dad, I need to learn the Bible. Who do I listen to? I can't listen to you, Dad. You drive me crazy. Okay, listen. Listen, you got to listen to Chuck Smith. And I'm like, Dad, that dude's old, man, and he's slow. I don't want to listen to Chuck, man. I'm like, I got ADD. I need someone fast. He's like, listen, Ryan, he's the best. I'm like, all right, Dad. So I'm like, give me the CDs. So I go home, and I'm trying to figure out what rehab I'm going to go to. I start putting Papa Chuck in, start listening to Chuck, and I'm like, wait a minute. I like listening to this guy. This guy's slow, and he gives these little nuggets, and I got ADD, so I can think 10 times about what one thought that he's talking about. I can think 10 times over it before he even finishes it. So I fall in love with Papa Chuck, and I start listening to him. I'm calling the rehabs, and what happens is after 3 days, the God of the universe just reached down from heaven and just pulled out the drugs out of my life. It's been 6 years, you guys. I never went to church. I mean, I never went to rehab. I just started going to church, but I was going to church 7 days a week, pretty much. I was calling around, hey, man, you got church tonight? Yeah, we got Tuesday morning with some Irish man at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. And then they have you know, Wednesday night at my dad's, and then Thursday night at Greg Laurie's, and then Monday nights at Monday Night Live at Costa Mesa. Like, I was just calling. I was going to church 7 days a week. I could not get enough. I was just like, I want to learn about this Jesus guy, right? So as I'm growing, I get an opportunity to go to Israel. So I go to Israel. I call the lead singer from POD. I said, hey, man, I'm going to Israel. You want to roll out? So he comes out with me. We're going through the land. And I haven't even read the whole Bible at this point, you know. And I start going through the land. And we get to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Poncho Ward is, I can't do his accent. Poncho Ward, you guys know Poncho? Yeah. Poncho Ward is there. And he's given this sermon in the Garden of Gethsemane, how Jesus was there, he did his whole ministry, and now he's at the point where he has to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world, to get the deed back to the earth, to take away the sins of the world, right? So he starts telling about the cross and where Jesus was at. And Jesus said, Father, if you could take this cup of suffering away and take the sins of the world any other way without me going to the cross and dying that death, without me going and getting the thorn put on my head or getting the veil put over his head, and the Roman officers would punch him in the face and say, hey, prophesy, if you're God, who hit you? Have any of you guys ever been knocked out? Hit, like in the cartoons when you get punched, you see the birds and the stars, and you start like this? Yeah, that think about this. Those Roman officers were gnarly dudes. And they would put the veil over Jesus' face and punch him and say, who hit you? Then, if that was enough, then they would tie him up and they would get the cat of nine tails. It's a whip. We have a replica of it at our office. It's like a picture of bat cut in half with leather straps that come off of it. It has lead, hooks, and they would have like teeth or glass or stuff like that. And what would happen is they would hit Jesus, it would wrap around, and then they would yank it. But the way they would do the punishment back then is if the sinner or if the criminal would confess a crime, the next one would be lighter. But Jesus was 100% man, 100% God. He didn't have any sin. So what would happen is every time they'd hit him, it would get harder every time, up to 39 times. Then when they were done with that, I mean, he was mangled. I mean, if you see this bat or this whip, Jesus was worked at this point. Then if that was enough, then they would make him carry the cross, all the whip they owned. We did the walk from that place where they would torture the criminals. And then he would do the walk all the way up, and then they would lay him down, and then they would drive the stakes into his hand, and then they would hang him up. But remember, they didn't kill Jesus. Remember, he separated from God, and Jesus said, why have you forsaken me? And God had to separate himself from the Son because the Son was taking all the sins of the world upon himself. So there has to be a separation. And then he didn't die again. He said, it is finished. And he released his soul. And you know the story. He went down. He went to hell and set the captives free that were sitting on the other half and took them to heaven. And now he's at the right hand of the Father pleading with us or interceding for us. So after he told this whole story, he said, now, you could either do the Father's will when you leave here in Israel and go back and have His will be done, or you could go back the same way you came and have your will be done. And I realized, I said, you know what? It's 6 months, I'm walking with God, I'm like, I've already lived that other life. I want Thy will to be done. So He goes, you guys go out to the Garden of Gethsemane, go make your peace with God. So I went out there and I just prayed, and that was actually the first time the Holy Spirit fell upon me when I started crying. I sat there and I just said, God, I said, I want your will to be done in my life moving forward. I don't want to live for myself anymore. If you want me to share my story, which is horrible, if you want me to share my story, then you have someone contact me. That's not my dad or anyone in my circle. Someone outside the circle. My dad's like, Ryan, you should share your story. It'd be neat. Everyone would love it. I'm like, no. So I said, God, you have someone contact me. And what happened is I said that prayer. The next day I get a phone call in Israel. From Derek Knight of Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas. He goes, hey, I heard, you know, you're a Christian, and I heard, you know, I heard you're a Christian now, and I want you to see if you want to come share your story at my church. I was like, Jesus, I was just joking. That was a joke. I've never done that before. I've never been in front of people like that. So I was with Sonny. I said, hey, man, you want to roll out with me to Israel when we get back, or to Las Vegas? I'm going to tell my story. This is the prayer I said. Jesus answered it. So he said, all right. So we went home. And on our way to Vegas, I told Sonny, I said, hey, dude, call Head to come out. I read his book. I want to meet him. So he calls Head, and he's like, hey, man, we're going to Vegas. My friend's going to share a story. You want to come out? So he's like, yeah, man, I'll come out. So he flies in. Then I called the lead singer from Flyleaf, call her and said, I'm going out with Sonny and Head to Vegas if she wanted to fly out. So she flew out. We all went to dinner, and we all became friends in like 10 minutes. And we had, you know, the same spirit that's in me and in you. We're just, it's the same. So we just became like this at dinner. So what happened is we showed up to the church the next day. And we all just walked up on stage together and we shared our stories, and that was the birth of the Whosoever movement. And from there, it's been 6 years, you guys. We've been traveling around. We've been just trying to live like Jesus, man. You just read the Bible and just try and do what it says. But I know I don't have that much time, but this is the thing I want to encourage you guys, is that I'm not perfect. Not even close. I'm totally rough around the edges. I love Jesus with all my heart. And I've just learned that if we want to be used, that we have to be a clean vessel. And the way it works is, I mean, Paul writes to Timothy. He was a young guy in the Bible at that time. And in 2 Timothy 2:19, he talks about there's different vessels in the king's quarters, you guys. There's the ones that are made of silver and gold that are for special use. There's the one, you know, they have a wedding feast. They're like, call, bring out all the silver and gold. And then there's the ones that are made of clay, you know, that are in the king's quarters that are made for taking out sewage water, toilet water, basically. And what I've come to realize is that, you know, Jesus says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, fire and power. And we turn that power button off. It's like a light switch. You can turn off or on as we put garbage into us, into our vessels, because we're all vessels at the end of the day. And there's things in my life, and it's been a rocky road, up and down. My walk with God's always been like this. I'm not changing my walk with God. Jesus has saved me, and he's done miracles in my life. I'm staying focused. But life's crazy, you know? Things happen, and you start listening to things you shouldn't be listening to. You see things, and the Holy Spirit comes up with those stop signs and says, hey, Ryan, don't listen to that. And then you either listen and say, you know what? I need to get rid of that stuff in my life. Or those stop signs in your life, you push away as the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And let me give you an example of like porn, for instance, okay? Because the first 6 months of my walk, I stopped sleeping with girls, but I was watching porn. Because I'm like, no one knows. I'm like, I'll give up the drugs and alcohol, but I'm still trying to have my little sex thing going on over here, right? So I'm going to church. I'm reading the Bible. God's transforming my life. I'm growing. But I have this little secret sin, and I'm watching porn. And when I go home at night, because it's like that body appetite, I don't want to give up. But then all of a sudden I come to this verse where Jesus says, if you want to be my disciples, you got to turn from your selfish way, pick up your cross and follow me. And what I realized at that point is like, I didn't really understand what he was saying there until I got to the end of the chapter for the first time, and how I just broke down the cross, what the cross was. Well, the cross, it's a beautiful thing, because now that Jesus Christ died on the cross, we're forgiven for all of our sins, and he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. So like us, we're humans, that we make mistakes. And then Satan comes up like he did with Job, and he goes, hey, God, look at Ryan. This guy's a clown. Look what he's doing. Like, look what he did today. I mean, you're going to use this guy, Mr. Lemon Drop, cocaine pirate guy? And what does Jesus say? Jesus is like, dude, put it on my black card, on my Amex. I already paid it all. Put everything he's ever done to the day he dies on my black card. Beat it, Satan. So what I realized is through that cross, what Jesus is doing at the right hand of the Father through that cross, is that it's painful, because if you're going to deny yourself, you have to deny yourself. It's going to be a painful thing. You have to deny yourself of those body appetites. It's a beautiful thing because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding, but it's a very painful thing because Jesus says you got to deny yourself, pick up your cross. You have to crucify your flesh. Your fleshly desires have to be put to the cross. So as I read that, I was like, okay, so what Jesus is saying is that I need to turn from my selfish ways, my body appetites. So at that point, 6 months into my Christian walk, I go, okay, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you like the disciples did. I'm not going to give in to my body appetites, even though for probably 4 years of my Christian walk, every time I'd come home, I would think of like, watch porn. And like these scenes that I've watched in my mind, you know, our mind's a hard drive. Everything we've ever put in, it's there. You know, you can't get rid of that stuff. It's hard. God can wash your mind, but there's still stuff in there. And I'd come home at night and I'd think like, oh man, I just want to, that'd be awesome to watch some porn right now. And then God, the Holy Spirit's like, no, don't do it. And then I'd be like, get out of here, Holy Spirit. And I start walking towards my computer and the Holy Spirit's like, don't turn on your computer. Open the laptop. Like, get out of here, Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit's like, don't turn on the button. Don't do it. And you know those stop signs that we all run into in whatever circumstances we're in our life. And then you turn it on. He's like, don't go to Safari. Safari. It's like all those stop signs in our life, that's the Holy Spirit. And what I decided is instead of not listening to the Holy Spirit, I started obeying. And as I started obeying, the power of the Holy Spirit started manifesting in my life. And it would get easier and easier. And finally, I'd be like in my house, no, Satan, I worship God. I follow you now. I'm not a slave to sin anymore. As the more things I gave up in my life, the more the Holy Spirit started manifesting and God started using me because I started becoming this clean instrument. But the thing is we're all an instrument. And you guys could all leave here or this weekend and you might have come in as a gold instrument, you know, that God's using. And I pray to God that you leave and you stay in tune with God. But if you came in and you're a vessel of clay and you want to leave gold, I pray that today be the day that the Lord has made and you change. You decide to make a decision today that thy will be done, not your will be done. And I want to say a prayer right now, you guys, because I know my time's probably up. But wherever you're at in your life, God loves you. His thoughts for you are more than the sands of the sea and the thoughts of love. He created you when you were in your mother's womb. Those desires that you had in your heart from a young age, He gave those to you. And those gifts that you have, He gave those to you. And I used to think when I was living my life in the world, doing my thing, like I was on top of the world and God, that I was using all my gifts. When I surrendered to God and I decided to become an instrument for use for Him, God gave me like 20 more gifts. He gave me way more. And I go, why did I waste 19 years of my life running from God when He had this amazing plan for my life? So I just want to say a prayer for you guys. I don't even know if all of you guys are even Christians or if you believe in God, but maybe my story touched your life and you're going, you know what? I need a relationship with the God of the universe. And if that's you and you want me to say a prayer for you and you want to accept the Lord in your life, and it just doesn't mean you're religious. Jesus was actually against all the religious people. All the people that are stuck in their traditions, He was against that. He said the two most important commandments. He said to love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And what did God say? Jesus said, God just wants you to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's it. And that's all it is just believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was raised from the dead. Start reading the living Word of God. Pray and watch your life transform. He will make you a new creation of Christ. I was telling one of the guys here that was doing worship that the Word of God is the seed. And the Word of God has the DNA of Christ. As you start reading it, you become Christ-like. But us as Christians, if you call yourself a Christian and you're just going to, you're going to church and you're not reading the Word, you're not praying, well, you're not going to be Christ-like. It's almost like I'm a skateboarder, right? So since I'm a skateboarder, I know skateboard tricks. I know if you're going regular stance or if you're going switch stance, which is backwards. I know nollie flip versus kick flip. I know the amateur skateboarders. I know the pro skateboarders. I know the video parts. I know culture of skateboarding. That makes me a skateboarder. Well, in the same sense, as Christians, if you're a Christian and you don't know the Bible, you don't know the stories, you don't even know what you believe, then if you are a skateboarder and you said you were a skateboarder and you bought all the apparel and you had the board and you went to the skate park and you never skated and you went home and you scratched your board up like you skated, what are you? You're a poser. So in the same respect, if you call yourself a Christian and you don't know the story, you don't know the Bible, what are you? And you're like, Brian, that's messed up. It's true. It's true. But it doesn't have to be like that anymore. You could change that way. You could start reading and praying and have that relationship with God and letting God use you. And if there's anyone here that wants to receive Christ, just give me a thumbs up and I will say a prayer for you. Anyone? Okay, cool. Now this is the deal. I'm going to close with this. There's things in all of our lives that we got to get rid of. I got things in my life. I'm sure Foch and everyone else, we all have things in our life it's a fact that we all have things in our lives that we need to get rid of. And that's part of the cleanup process that God does in our life. And we continually to give things up to be more Christ-like. And I want to say a prayer right now that I want to have everyone just close their eyes. And I want to say a prayer with you. Everyone put your hands up. Our hands are going to represent our white flags. It represents we're surrendering. And I want you guys to take 30 seconds right now just to have peace with God and just let Him speak to your heart and give some things up right now and say, God, I'm going to give this up when I walk out of here. I want your will to be done. There's these things that have been bringing me down that I'm not happy about that keep popping up in my life. And I want to give them completely to you because I want thy will to be done in my life. And I want to be a gold instrument and I want to be used for honorable use. I don't want to be an instrument of sewage anymore. So just make peace, God, right now, and then I'm going to pray with you. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, for the fact that you died on the cross for our sins, Lord, and we thank you for being next to the Father interceding for us. When Satan comes up and tries to accuse us, you just tell him it's all, you paid it all. So we thank you for that, God, and I pray that you reveal to us that you are never mad at us, Lord. You love us, and they're just thoughts of love, God. We're the ones that separate ourselves through sin, and we run from you because we think that you'll never love us, Lord. But we know that you, that God sent his only Son into the world to die for us as wretched sinners, Lord. You paid it all, and you don't ever condemn us, God. You just love us, Lord. So I pray now that you just reach into our hearts, God, and any kind of darkness, things that we're holding on to, Lord, I pray that you just remove them by the power of the Holy Spirit, God. I pray that right now you just blanket this place with the Holy Ghost, and you just love us, Lord. And you reveal to us the things that need to change and the things that you want to do in our lives, God. As this conference is about passing the baton, Lord, I pray that each single person that's in here, Lord, has an encounter with you, God, a serious encounter where they will walk out of here and know that you are real and they have to follow you 100% and not letting their faith waver, God, that you want to do miracles. You want to use them to heal people, Lord. You want to use them to bring people to Christ, God. There's gifts that you want to impart in them, God, but we have to be that clean instrument for you to work in us, Lord. So any kind of spiritual chains that are hooked into us through pornography or angerness or bitter or jealousy or just things that have happened to us in our past life through drugs and alcohol, God, I pray right now by the power of the Holy Ghost that you break those chains in the name of Jesus. Cover us with the blood that was shed on the cross and walk with us and guide us and send your angels down from heaven to protect us and to walk with us, God, and to minister to us, Lord. We love you, God, and I thank you so much for having me out here, Lord. I pray that if I misrepresented you, Lord, I pray that you forgive me for my sins, God. And I pray that you, your glory will shine here today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.